when Natasha and Daniel meet, they I'm supposed to do the movie voice because it's a movie, right?
Oh yeah,
didn't we agree?
Yeah, no, we.
They are both at a crossroads in life,
with just 24 hours before her family is deported from the United States. Natasha wrestles between love and logic, while the two spend the day together discovering a magnetic chemistry. My head weird while I was talking.
It got very Randy Savage. There's got to be a different movie voice for rom-coms, right?
Hmm. Fall in love with this modern love story.
Starring Yara Shahidi.
And Charles Melton.
The sun is also a star.
Only in theaters May 17th.
I like that better.
Listeners.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. There's a new season of With Special Guest Lauren Lapkus out now on Stitcher Premium. The only podcast where the guest is the host.
Think about that.
Yo, I'm tripping.
She's the host, but she's the guest. Take a seat with Lauren as she passes off her hosting duties to a new funny friend every week.
Lauren is always the guest and only the host who determines the concept of that week's episode know who she's playing until they begin.
Yeah. It's entirely improvised. You never know who's going to show up. It's the host show. Lauren's just along for the ride. It's a very funny premise. Lauren's very good at this because she's, you know, got a million characters in her pocket. Mm-hmm. So this is a fun way to show them off.
You can listen to, quote, with special guest Lauren Lapkus, end quote, now and completely ad-free only on Stitcher Premium.
For a free month of Stitcher Premium, y'all know what to do. Go to StitcherPremium.com and use promo code YO. Here we are. We're in the room.
We're in the room. We're feeling good. Super high energy. Definitely not sleepy.
Oh, yeah, Andrew, you're very high energy.
Oh, my name is Andrew T.
My name is Tawny Newsome. This is Yo's This Racist, the podcast where we take your racism questions with the help of a special guest. We got a really nice article written about us. If you didn't see it, go check it out. Support online writings wherever you may find them.
Vulture Split Cider. I guess they're a little of both.
Vulture Split Cider.
It was really nice, but they called me sleepy like 15 times.
They
and I'm
really
taking the
did.
Note. I'm taking the
they
fucking
really
note.
They really dug in and said, like, this man is always tired. It's endearing. We like it, but he is never fully awake. But
and
it was
I
nice.
Never have been.
They put out our, or they told people to listen to our 1,000th episode.
Which,
as like a
true?
Start with this one, which I was like, that
that's
is
straight up lunacy.
That's lunacy to tell people start with this 2.5 hour free for all of nonsense. But
although I think we finally have it booked enough that I think we can just say this. If you did like the 1,000th episode, maybe, I mean, look, just fucking please tune in anyway. But maybe get ready for Juneteenth because maybe
we might
there's
do
gonna be something
another
vaguely similar
smorgasbord
to
of talent with some loose games that we will plan as I ride in the lift
about
over to
36
the show.
Hours before at max.
Andrew, we got to talk about Loquisha. Do you want to talk about Loquisha?
No.
Oh, man. Loquisha, if you don't know, is a hit new summer blockbuster.
Oh, my God.
Coming to VHS. Who fucking knows?
I guess, actually, what we should do is get... Okay, wait. Let's talk about... So, this is a movie that is coming out.
Movie's a loose term.
This is a...
This is a rough two-hour...
Racist sketch.
Assembly of footage.
Basically, it's Soul Man. For anyone that doesn't know, Soul Man is a... It's all right. This
not
literally
the Cedric the Entertainer television show.
Yeah, oh, right. No, not that. Does that come? Was that from that?
No,
co-opted
no, no, no,
from
no.
it, obviously.
No,
or
it was
like,
just called
like
the
renaming
Soul Man.
It. Yeah,
it
yeah.
Was
a,
yeah.
Soul Man is a racist movie from the '80s where a white guy wears blackface to get into Harvard. Mm-hmm. You keep talking because I actually think Soul Man might have been from the '90s.
I think so.
Keep talking.
I don't
keep
think it was
talking.
That long ago. So
86.
This
okay.
dude.
Super racist.
I don't even know this comedian's name. I'd never seen him before, which
yeah.
I guess
look,
doesn't mean
and
anything.
Arguably he's getting more attention than he's ever gotten in his life, so he wins.
Yeah, so
but.
This dumb shit wins. But the whole premise, if you haven't, I don't know how you've missed it. If you haven't seen it, the entire premise is, I'm a white guy who can't get a job in radio, in terrestrial radio. radio. So the only way I can get a job is to pretend to be this larger than life black caricature named Loquisha and give like relationship advice.
Yeah.
Okay. So the trailer, well, the trailer's worth a watch if you just need something to get mad about. If you need to, you know, your anger displaced from some other shit that you're mad about and you want to put it somewhere, put it on that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things. One, the voice that he uses to be Loquisha.
Yeah.
Aside from, okay, we all get this is racist, it's terrible, it's blackface in the form of a 2-hour piece of this man's work.
Well, it's also like the name is like this classic dog whistle.
Classic dog whistle, a fake weird name that no one has. Apologies to any actual Loquishas out there. I don't believe you exist. But the voice he's using is not even remotely. There used to be a time when your racists would put out some
take
blackface
pride
shit
in their fucking
but they would have
work.
A great accent, you know?
Yeah,
no, they wouldn't,
good for
but it
them.
Would be fucking at least slightly closer. This is just
at
like
at least racists used to have craft.
Yeah, man. He just sounds like himself, but a little southern and ignorant. And then there are black people in the film, in case you are concerned that it's just like a KKK piece of propaganda.
Yeah.
Literature.
I will say this, friend of the show, not guest, yes, Dwayne Perkins.
Uh-huh.
Because there's someone in the movie named Dwayne Perkins.
Oh, yes.
Has been getting dragged on Twitter. It's hilarious.
Dwayne is a wonderful comedian who is not the person in the film, but some people are mad at the black people in the film, which also is like, no, like you don't get to be mad at them. Like they took a job. They probably should have read the script a little closer, but like, I'm not mad at black actors for just trying to take work.
Yeah.
They also might have thought they could change it or put a spin on it. Also, you never know when you read a script that might read one way and then it comes down together in the edit, like a super racist way. They might have thought they were into something different.
It's hard with the title. The titles makes it real tough. Hard.
Well, it might not have been titled. It might have been untitled.
Well, character name. Character name.
Okay, she might have been named Carol. I'm just trying to help these black actors out so that they don't get dragged online.
I think they can be a little bit dragged, but if you're dragging them more than 1/10 the amount you're dragging every white person involved with this.
True.
You're wrong. You're incorrect.
Everyone should be dragged. Drag the black folks the least because there are still fewer roles for us than any of the other people in that movie that you saw, which is ironic.
Yeah. Here's what I will say. I was trying to find the actual, like, from the producer's description of it. I couldn't find it, but one of the lines in it is basically, sight unseen, they hire. So basically, it's a guy gives really good advice. A white guy gives really good advice. He tries to get onto he auditions for an advice radio show to be the host. Doesn't get it. Puts on his fucking offensive accent. Makes up the racist name Loquisha, and then in the description from the producers, I'm paraphrasing, but it's basically like sight unseen. The owners of the radio station hire this quote, this racist caricature to be the host. And that to me is, so I will just counterpoint this a little bit. Like, I am currently rewriting a script because I want to make sure that it's believable that these Muslim punk teens are rebelling in a specific way. To me, it's really important that this is believable. Whereas some dumb fuck racist white guy gets to pretend that in the world, a person could be hired by a radio station sight unseen simply because they're a black woman. And that is the entire logical crux of the movie. And it was produced.
Yes. And that his job at terrestrial radio.
Yeah.
Again, looking at where we sit.
Yeah.
On this fucking pile of cash, baby. but everyone knows there's no money in real radio anymore. And the driving thing of the show is that he's trying
to
send his kid to private school.
It's fucking revolt. I mean, look, it's weird how this guy had this like racist axe to grind. And literally by making it proves that in entertainment, the bar for racist white men is lower than for other people. This movie doesn't even remotely track logically in ways that, again, I'm writing a script right now that is getting dinged for much less, you know, difficult pieces to swallow.
Right.
Buys, we call it in the business. But it's fucking revolting. I mean, like, this guy is a fucking racist idiot. I guess friend of the show and another future guest, Yasser Lester, has been doing an amazing thing on Twitter, which is a commitment to trolling by claiming he wrote and directed Loquisha.
Yeah, he's just claiming to be the guy. I mean, he's a black and Palestinian actor, comedian, so he does not look anything like him, but someone photoshopped him into the artwork. It's really fantastic.
It's worth finding.
It's kind of made it funny. Like a little more tolerable for me that someone like Yasser can just be like, yes, this is my work. Thank you, everyone. Please go see it.
Yeah.
The real creator of this piece of shit, he also did a fun thing on Instagram. I feel like this has been the year of white guys looking for a Wayans brother so that they can talk about the movie White Chicks as a reason for why they get to do their blackface.
Yeah.
Which is so insane on so many levels. It's not the same thing. The movie White Chicks.
It's pathetic that you think it's the same thing.
But he posted an old picture of him, and I don't remember which Wayans it was from Damon
from the G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra premiere.
Come on. And posted an old picture and said, like, we're all just out here having fun, everybody be cool, or whatever the fuck his caption said. And it's like, that's not an argument.
Yeah, fuck that fucking racist, obviously. And as promised on Twitter, in other racists feeling themselves too much news, this isn't actually that funny, but for Mother's Day, I went down and saw my family, and I know people enjoy a white Uncle Michael update, but this one was actually, like, kind of depressing and fucked up. But he broke, like, his own land speed record for saying something fucking. He said he was talking about, he and it's
like
weird.
Like Concord.
It's weird because he was just, like, factually wrong also, which is fucking weird. But he basically blamed, direct quote, dirty illegals, end quote, for the measles outbreak that is directly caused by white people.
What?
It's, I mean, look, obviously he's a fucking racist, ignorant, idiot, piece of shit. And for the first time, I was sitting next to my grandma, and usually my only MO is like, I shouldn't upset grandma. And I had to like,
she's legit 100.
She's 100 years old. Happy birthday, grandma. A couple months ago, I had to like look him in the eye and say it with enough of a tone because her English isn't that good that he needed to shut the fuck up. Like, it was very hard to do, but it was unbelievable.
You texted that on the chain and I got so much joy picturing you trying to keep your tone chill enough for grandma, but telling him to actually like go jump in several lakes.
It's not funny, really, because it's just depressing. I always feel bad about myself about not. What I'm going to try to remember to do next time is take a video of it and just post it. And
oh my God.
You know, I mean, I will say the one thing about it is like, and this shows how little faith I have in the people of San Diego, is I don't think it's their only income stream, but one of their income streams is they have a restaurant. And normally I would be like, fucking everyone know about the owner of this restaurant, boycott it. Except in the city of San Diego, I do not think letting people know that he's racist would hurt his business.
Yeah, it's not going to do much.
I think it would improve his business. I'm serious.
They'd be like, actually, we're safe here.
Yeah, so let me know, people of San Diego, if I'm wrong, but I don't. But it's also like and this is where Asian American Pacific Islander History Month continues in the wrongest direction, but my fucking normally good aunt kind of like got on board with it too. She's so fucking ignorant and like white supremacist and horrible.
Not the one married to him.
And the one married to him was somehow the most reasonable because she told him to shut up.
Oh, good.
Even though I know she fully agrees with him, but she at least told him to shut up.
But see, what's interesting is when you marry a racist, not speaking from experience at all, when you marry a racist, like, you're mad about some other shit. You're mad about some, like, dishes and yard work shit. Yeah. And so when he says something racist in front of 100-year-old grandma, you can act like you're being cool and shut down the racism.
For all I know, I would imagine. And this is the thing where people get at me for being self-hating or too hard on Asian people. It's like, I clearly have some of the world's worst Asian people in my family. And so I feel like I'm oversensitive to that stuff. It over-indexes. And I know not all Asian people are like this, even of that generation. However, I mean, just look at the votes. A lot of them are. So, I mean, I know it's not like fair for me to talk so much shit about Asian people, especially of that generation, East Asian people, I should say, but fuck.
Well, you have some of the best friends. If you want to balance out the terrible Asians in your family, just from what I've seen anyway, the fantastic Asians that you surround yourself with, maybe that can cheer you up.
Oh, actually, and I do have one very good Asian person in my family. My fucking sister, who is a healthcare provider in the state of Georgia, and will be there for a little while. So obviously, look, it's low on the comedy shit, but obviously Georgia is going through some shit right now, especially for people who provide women's health care. So healthcare to women, I can't talk, I'm sorry.
It's okay, Uncle Michael got you riled.
So I texted her because I was just like, you know, we wanted to talk about this abortion ban from Georgia and also other places on the podcast this week from someone who actually knows what the fuck they're talking about. So I just asked her, is there anything you want to say or anything that she thought people should know that they might not? You know, so the couple things she mentioned is that ACLU and abortion funds ARC Southeast are taking the lead on the lawsuit. For now, we still believe in the rule of law. So for whatever that's worth. So donate to those places. You know, I probably stuck my neck in a place where it didn't belong and made a joke about the sex strike being some white feminist nonsense.
I think you were in good company, though, making that joke.
I was in good company, but I am fully cognizant that people coming at me that it's not my place to talk about that shit are correct. So everyone's fine.
Everyone's fine.
Except for no one's fine. Everyone's a fucking nightmare. And then the other thing, you know, my sister just said, like, among providers and women of color out there, especially the entertainment boycott is being debated. There isn't really a clear consensus on that, mainly because the entertainment industry directly employs people who, you know, mostly don't support the abortion ban and, you know, a lot of women of color, especially.
Yeah. Because there are a good amount of people who have moved from places like here in New York to specifically just work in entertainment there. So
the city
are
of Atlanta, which we still fucking love, is in the middle of this whole state.
So I'm torn about the entertainment boycott too.
Yeah. It's complicated. Obviously, it's complicated for us because we have direct stakes in that sort of thing.
Yeah.
We get it if our opinion is biased or colored by personal considerations, don't fucking listen to us.
Well, I guess it's more like I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm waiting to hear from smarter people than me, like what exactly we should do.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other thing my sister just wanted people to know is that abortion is currently still legal. Many of the headlines are misleading. So please, if you're in the state of Georgia, Ohio, I think Alabama also has essentially a ban. Please take care of yourself. Get the health care you need as long as you can.
And I don't think we need to say this for our listeners, but just in case you have any probably men in your life who want to say something like, this isn't a ban, you still have 6 weeks. Of course, the response to that is 6 weeks is not any amount of time for most women to know if they're pregnant or not. So this is a ban. This is a ban with weird language that allows some ignorant men to think it's not a ban. But
yeah,
I mean, I've never had a regular period in my life. We could all be pregnant.
Yeah.
Jordan's pregnant. I'm pregnant. We're pregnant, right? We could be pregnant. Fuck.
We're hard into Andrew needs to shut his fucking mouth.
Jordan,
territory.
Do you like that I just said Jordan's pregnant as my first reference to you on this program? Jordan's not pregnant. No one's pregnant. We think
we don't. It's could not be any less of anyone's business. We're in fine shape. Anyway, I think the thing I just wanted to say was, I mean, look, we are in a depressing denouement to the new segment, but Jesus.
One more thing about Loquisha.
Yes.
When the black guy in the trailer says, it's not racist, it's theater, and then does his Pippin walk where he like Ben Vereen's his way out of the studio. I just wanted to say, it's funny when racists write something that and they don't realize they're actually pointing to the reason why it's racist. Like, he writes, it's not racist, it's theater or whatever. And it's like, yes, the theater was called minstrelsy. It was called a minstrel show. We've done it. It was theater for years. And then it was television. And now we've moved past it. So, like, it's like they know. It's in the back of their brains that this is fucked up and why. But they have this racism film over it. God damn, I hope no one goes to see this fucking thing. I hope it ends up on 1,000 Blu-ray discs that just get shot into the sun.
I hope every white person that worked on this in any way never works again. I'm
serious.
Yeah,
man.
It's fucking ridiculous. But also, again, like, it is direct evidence of the opposite of its point.
Yeah.
I can't stress that enough. It's easier for white men to get things done in the entertainment industry than other people, not harder.
Yes.
It's literally easier. Okay. So our guests this week, we got to have Charles Rogers and Casey Ellison on the show.
Yes. Very funny duo, very funny individuals. Laugh at them separately and together.
and all of us together now.
You guys know Never Not Funny with Jimmy Pardo. He's a true pioneer of comedy podcasts.
Starting in 2006, it's one of the first comedy podcasts. I said comedy podcast.
Leave that in. Comedy podcast. Each episode features Jimmy, his producer, Matt Belknap, and their famous funny friends talking about their lives, their work, and the world around them.
Honestly, like every comedy legend has been on the show. People like John Mulaney, Maria Bamford.
Santa Claus.
Did you see Santa Claus at Radio City?
Santa Claus has been on.
I used to listen to Santa inexplicably says the N-word like 15 times.
Oh, God.
Live.
This is taking a turn.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, there have been other cool people. Tig Notaro, Camille Nanjiani, Patton Oswalt, just to name a few.
We get it. Listening to a new podcast is a big commitment.
Yeah, and that's why this is a perfect time to check out Never Not Funny, because starting this week, they're releasing their game show spinoff. You guys love spinoffs. Everybody mm-hmm. loves a spinoff. That's the only shit that gets bought in this town is a spinoff. Right, and the Never Not Funny feed. It's called Playing Games with Jimmy Pardo.
Is that why you've been pitching that racism advice with Tawny and not Andrew show?
Yeah. It's Damn. Called Racism Advice with Tawny and not Andrew. Yeah,
that
but that we'll talk
sense.
About that in another
that
ad. Right
sense.
Now, we're talking about Playing Games with Jimmy Pardo.
Each episode features a celebrity co-host to help Jimmy pit three call-in contestants against each other in a pop culture trivia battle.
This week, his co-host is Jamila Jamil from The Good Place, and they got some amazing guests coming up, like Sarah Silverman.
Make sure to look up Never Not Funny in your podcast app and hit subscribe.
Yeah, hear those new episodes.
Never Not Funny and the game show spinoff Playing Games with Jimmy Pardo, all in the same plus. Yeah,
so, I think there's like, but like no pressure, honestly.
He said not to be funny. You say be funny.
Well,
what's going
guess
on?
Zig has to be Goldilocks and just
I'll be funny to Andrew.
Oh,
that's good.
It. I got mixed up.
Let's get a wild tonal shift every time you speak to someone different. That is the fucking key.
We do just tend to like roll in cold, though. Okay. So okay. Maybe yeah. I would just ask you guys, like, where? Hey, guys, where are you from? Where are you both individually from?
Okay.
So, like, where are you from?
Oh, you asking me?
I thought I'd try it. Yeah.
Well, I grew up in South Texas on the border of Texas and Mexico. Then I went to college in Austin. And then I went to school in New York. And now I live here in L.A.
Cool. So you don't have, like, a standard answer. Like
I don't have
people.
A standard answer.
I know. I feel like when I ask people that and they're just like, lots of
yeah, I have lots of
things.
Like, I grew up in Acapulco, Mexico as a kid, too.
Wow.
Oh, cool. That's a part of my narrative, my journey, my hero's journey.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And you are a hero.
That is brave.
My heroine's
that
journey.
Is brave.
We only invite heroes and heroines to the studio.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Where are you from, Casey?
I'm born and raised in Hollywood.
Oh, shit.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
In like the sign specifically,
yeah,
or
like
near the sign,
right? I was, yeah. It was like
the sign is a hospital.
Oh, that
a
makes
lot
sense.
Of people don't know that.
Yeah,
I was actually birthed. Yeah, my mom
right out the
birth,
O,
like right out of the O. Yeah, exactly.
Cannon them out of the O.
Won't say which O.
There's a few.
There really are a few. We're joined by comedian Casey Jane Ellison and Charles Rogers, writer, director, co-creator of Search Party, and I think for everyone listening to this, most importantly, the hosts of the podcast, The Problem with Charles and Casey.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We are both that. We are both the hosts.
Co-hosts.
Mm-hmm. Co-hosts.
Does
yeah.
anyone...
Does yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what I...
It doesn't
does anyone
sorry.
Slash...
I'm sorry.
Does everyone just ask you, so what is the problem?
Right.
What is the problem?
That's what we do. That's
yeah,
our
that's
job.
Our job.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have you learned yet?
Well, everyone has a different problem.
Oh. It's everything.
Yeah. 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 And the show is also... The problem is that we are... We want to know what people's problems are, and
right.
then we want to help them.
Yeah, that,
and it's just like that's a control problem. Mm. So,
sure.
But it's like it starts premise-y, but then it's always like therapy. It's kind yeah. of like the show in that like
mm-hmm.
it's funny because you guys are funny, but mm-hmm. then like it's actually about real things. You know,
oh. yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
that.
And it always we always feel connected at the end, and then we're always you know we've always been there in the person's problem and we relate our own stories and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, that does sound nice.
Yeah. It's very emotional. It's very like, we got a review that was like, this is white people porn. And it's very like two white people who have been in therapy for a very long time.
Yeah.
Like using therapy talk. Like,
but is that white people porn?
Yeah.
It is. I feel like
it is. I was going to say, I feel like that person
has their own issues.
There's lots of white people porn, guys.
There's also literally white people porn.
Yeah.
There's porn with white people in it, too.
That's true. Yeah.
They haven't been overlooked.
It's like young people porn. I feel like young people love like talking about
self-reflection.
Issues.
Yeah. Well, fuck that reviewer, unless you like
it. No. We want the haters because we want to improve and we want the fame.
It's
the first time like I've ever gotten hate that was like about me with my name, you know. It's interesting.
How do you feel?
I think I'm kind of like masochistic. Like I want
the hate.
I'm like, bring it.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I'm right in that phase.
I'm like, yeah, I know.
I've been through that phase as well, where someone said something bad about me on the internet, and then I was like, well, I guess I need to read their entire history of tweets to just like see if they said anything else / get to know this person who hates me.
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore.
Become your best friend.
Yeah, and then I'm like calling them like, hey, girl.
And then you host a podcast with them. What's up? Sorry about those comments.
Oh. That's okay, man. We came out the other side.
from girl to man so quickly.
And you'll probably get married, right?
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
That's cute. Story works.
Yeah. I think that's how our Earwolf contract works. If this doesn't end in a televised marriage, we owe them $100 million.
That explains it. I did not totally read to the end.
Yeah, you gotta read the end.
How many Earwolf weddings have you guys been to this year?
Oh my god, so many. Manzoukas and Gabris's was the most beautiful one.
Cliffside.
Yeah.
Here's how I could tell you're good at improv is I straight up could not think of two Earwolf people. I was just like, I could roll with this bit. And then it's
that's just memory.
I could think of Paul F. Tompkins and no one else. He married himself though on a cliff, so good for him. My memory is completely shot.
Ginkgo.
Are you promoting Ginkgo biloba?
Do you think that the joke of Ginkgo is back?
No.
I don't even know what the
bit
is.
I think it is. Okay, so in the 90s, everyone was like, I should have taken my ginkgo. It was like a sitcom joke because it was a memory fad. Supplement. And now I'm seeing it again.
Mm-hmm. And I will also say, just because that's what we do on this show, I mean, that joke was like tinged with like a little bit of racism that was like this crazy Eastern medicine that isn't real, that crazy people take.
Very Dharma and Greg.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very like...
My favorite part about that shit
humor
is I love when shit like that happens, and then I'm like, and then my mom will straight up do the thing.
Like,
and I'm
it.
Like, Mom, you don't understand. I'm going to need you to say this is not a thing you believe in for my bit.
She's like, why?
Fucking like, bummer.
Living my life exactly how I want.
Living the worst life. Should we just start? We'll do a voicemail and we'll keep talking and most likely ignore the actual contents of the voicemail. Who cares?
Hi. So is the dark twin of woke, of ironic, racism, woke racism, because I was listening to a podcast of three comedians and it's not a political podcast, but they touch on political themes and they were making all kinds of jokes about white privilege. Like they could run at a cop with a knife and the cop wouldn't do anything. And they could like, point a gun at the cop and the cop wouldn't do anything. And they were laughing and I was laughing. And then I realized, oh, we're laughing about our white privilege. And it used to be that like the whole point was that whites wouldn't acknowledge privilege, and now sometimes we do. And it was weird. It felt weird. I wasn't sure that this was actually like the way that humor should go. So I wanted to run that by you. Because it kind of reminded me of the Justine Sacco thing, where, you know, the Is Justine Landed Yet? Where she was, everyone thought was like a straight up racist comment, and she was like doing woke racism humor. So, anyways, I wanted to run that by your show because a lot of podcast listeners listen to you and make these kind of jokes.
That's interesting.
What is the way that comedy should go, Charles?
Well, Justine Sacco is my favorite comedian. She's a bigger audience than most people.
She's the lady that made the joke about, like,
I won't get AIDS in Africa.
And
then everyone wanted to turn that into a movie. But the reality of that movie is that it's just a person sitting on a plane,
right.
not knowing that there's a movie.
Yeah. Not knowing there's a movie about them. Yeah.
I kind of think it is.
Yes, it is.
Racism. It's like, yeah. And I feel like I see it a lot with white friends too.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah.
It is kind of like, even when you know better, you're still like the shock value of it isn't progressive either, but you like feel like you feel like you're saying something but you're not.
Yeah,
right.
Is it okay, so this is a thing, I think, just to maybe make sure everyone is talking about the same thing. It's sort of like this is like a very, like, you know, LA sort of bubble, or LA, New York, yeah, blah blah blah, liberal kind of thing. It's like, you know, they're like a step ahead of the worst white people.
Yeah.
They're several steps ahead of the worst white people. But yeah. Right.
Like, what are they? Yeah. Like, it's weird for white people to find their entry into this subject matter. And it's very awkward and weird. And like, I think it's just the intention, like, that any white person should go into that kind of humor.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be very specific for it to be kind of self-aware. Well,
it's hard to land. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. I think maybe it's the type of thing where I guess I would sort of say, I feel like often the intention is clear, but the joke can't, it's so hard for the joke to actually land the intention.
Right.
Right.
Or I think it's exactly. just usually yeah. with other white people. So it's sort of well, if there's no one else cool. of color, right. then like, why are we doing this?
Yeah. Because I have been in a scenario where a white person makes a joke like that, like to me, like as though like we're on the same page, right? Isn't this crazy? I could run at this cop with a knife, to use her example. And it never makes me like mad, but it never makes me laugh. I'm always just like,
like
that is the reality.
This is just kind of sad, and like, let's move on from these comments a little bit. So like, I feel like she said that podcast was like three Canadians, presumably white, that were all making these jokes together.
Yeah,
like, would they do that if there was a brown person in the room?
Right.
Well, here's the argument for why they wouldn't. I think is because when you're actually with a person of color for whom this thing is real, this type is real, you realize that you're not making a joke. You're making like just like the first draft commentary.
Right. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Oh, I noticed this.
Yeah. Right.
And you're so where's the joke?
You're using a little bit of hyperbole. Not even hyperbole. You're just saying in a whimsical way, just a sad fact.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's hard to think of like the new, like what's the, I can't off my head think of like a good example of like how that could be like a new, fresh, poignant take on that. Because you're just like, you're just bringing up the facts.
Yeah. But I think that's the perspective thing. Because I think I would sort of argue the reason it lands as a joke when you're in a room of all white people is because there will be white people who had never thought of that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that will be surprising to them. Whereas when you're in a room with people of color, they're going to be like, we know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the element of surprise is different for different audiences.
Yeah.
Right.
And so,
I mean, I don't even, because when I was listening to her, I didn't even get the joke.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Sitting from
that's because you're one of the good ones.
Thank you so much. And that's why I'm here, to be like, congratulate.
There are cookies and badges on your way out the door.
Thank you. More, I get more. But it's like, yeah, it's disturbing. The joke is like, it's not, it's a dark joke. It's this is creepy.
Yeah.
What's interesting is the caller was like, I laughed. Like, you know, the guys told their joke. She laughed and then she felt weird later.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing that she was like insightful, like questioning enough to be like, I felt weird about that.
Yeah.
And right.
That made me feel something. Like somebody who's in touch with their feeling. That's amazing.
Yeah. Everyone should feel weirder about themselves.
I agree.
Honestly, actually. Yeah. Not everyone, but. Many people
just question.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrible about themselves. Actually,
honestly, please
be more Jewish.
I feel worse.
I feel like also there's something to like not keeping things alive in the collective unconscious either. Like there's something to like just because that's true doesn't, like, the more you keep giving that idea power just from existing, then it just stays.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's just totally. Like,
right, it becomes its own justification. It's like, even if, let's assume it's probably pretty unlikely that a cop is going to listen to that joke specifically. But it is a thing that ultimately it's like, we all have the mentality that, like, the ends justify the means, and you're like, these are the facts. And then even subconsciously we start to feel like, and therefore it's correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The norm.
Right.
Yeah. And, oh, man. Great.
Did we help someone?
Are we on a weird roll?
We're on a weird roll.
Are we, like, early?
Actually helping
people.
Are we
people. Knocking them out?
Yeah. I think your energy, because you guys actually help people, has forced us.
I think we changed her life.
Yeah, she's
a fucking millionaire right now.
You're right. Welcome.
Let's get to another voicemail.
Second attempt, I'm going to shorten and clarify. I am Jewish and white, trying my best. Hi, Andrew, Tawny, and guests. Sorry for the unfortunate rhyme. Jews are celebrating Passover right now, and one of the things we do is have a Seder where we discuss the Exodus from Egypt. Part of that is discussing anti-Semitism in general. I raised the question in the context of Representative Omar's remarks about Israel, whether it is anti-Semitic to criticize Israel. I thought no. Everyone else disagreed with me. But my question then is, is it racist for someone outside of a race or ethnic group to criticize someone inside of that race or ethnic group? Thanks so much. Love the show. Bye.
Yeah.
Wait, the last part of this.
Last part is essentially like boils down in the specific. We'll do the specific to the general, which is like, can you criticize Israel if you're not Jewish? And then the general version of that is, can you criticize? I mean, that's a little fuzzy because, again, Israel doesn't represent the views of the Israeli government do not represent
the
views of all Jewish people. But, you know, there's elements of that. You know, there's definitely a strong sentiment that's like, if it's not your community, you can't say shit.
Yeah. Right.
That feels like, you know, very. And I think it's something we all internalize, like, you know, one big like thing, you know, since Tawny joined is like, obviously, even though I mostly know I'm mostly saying the right thing, like anytime I said anything about misogyny, there's always that element of like, yeah, but you're a man. Mm-hmm. Like, who cares? Who the fuck cares what you think? Which is valid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or how can you actually know? Like, you can feel like you know, but.
Yeah, exactly. So there is an element of like, well, how can you know? How can you know if you're not part of it? How can you possibly criticize?
Mm-hmm. Right.
On the other hand, we can.
Yeah, especially when it's a government.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely want to criticize most governments in the world.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't have to be from there. I don't know. Maybe people would disagree with me, but.
I think what's hard, like, it's hard for me to see any system of power and feel like I'm not allowed to criticize it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is like religion too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're different questions.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Cause that's cause the hierarchy isn't the culture. The hierarchy is like responsible for good and bad things. So how can you make them one and the same?
But then there's the other side of it, which is like, you know, I think we all feel an implicit power dynamic, but I think part of the reason it's confusing is like, you know, the government of Israel, very powerful in an area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Globally, not very powerful. Jewish folks, there's anti-Semitism in the world.
Right.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
So I think that's the thing, is like the power dynamic is super muddy. Like the hierarchy is not a clear one.
Right.
Or it changes depending on what, like, you know, essentially how big a piece of the globe we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And where it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like,
it kind of reminds me in a less important way when you talk in comedy about punching up or punching down.
Yeah.
Like, the second we're not doing it from an American audience lens, things all shift and change.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, you know, like punching up, punching down, there's bigots at the fucking, you know, comedy store every day of the week who think when they're supporting straight white men, they genuinely feel that straight white men are under attack, and are they for sure feel like when they attack other, you know, minorities or what we know are, you know, whatever, disenfranchised people, mm-hmm. they don't believe that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, it's funny to them.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. I don't know.
I don't know. Mm.
It's so scary. I feel like
okay, I'm gonna say something. We might have to cut it out, but all right, let's roll. Share something from personal. So my girlfriend is Latinx, and she sometimes she gets jealous, and sometimes she'll say like, "Oh, I'm being Latinx about this," mm-hmm. and then I'm like, "If I said that, no."
If you had said that to
if
her.
If I say that to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
when we're
yeah.
like kidding about her being jealous, or if she's serious about her being jealous, it's mm-hmm. like, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sure.
What do you think of that?
No, but I think that's like clear. Am I crazy?
It's clear.
That feels right, right? It's clear. That feels
yeah,
like.
Yeah, that feels like those things that you just don't get to tread on. Like, that feels right. like something that she gets to say about herself.
Right.
Yes, yeah. of course.
Oh, but okay, like, but right. And then, of course, like, so how, if that feels so clear to us,
yes.
which I think mm-hmm. it does, yeah. how
does it translate to
the larger version not feel clear?
Right. And we're both Jewish, so we can talk shit about that.
Yeah, there you go.
Very easily.
You guys both are allowed to talk shit about that.
Yeah. Wait, what's the larger version?
I mean, the larger version is essentially the what the caller's asking.
Okay, right.
Which yeah. is
okay.
like
yeah. Representative Omar.
Because this, right. this is the same version, it's just with only two people.
Right. I think that there's also some, like, I feel like it's a little bit sometimes about, like, the kind of trust you have. Like, not that, I'm not saying that there isn't. Like trust between mm-hmm. you, but like that, like, because I grew up on the border and I was like the only white kid of like all yeah. my friends, mm-hmm. and like they loved, like, I was basically Mexican to them, mm-hmm. but now that we've all grown up and like live in the world, like those rules don't even apply anymore,
right, of course,
mm-hmm. but now, like, I can't, like, I'll meet like Latinx people now and I'm like, oh, my relationship to this is now informed through like a whole societal situation where I have to, like, oh, I am yeah. like a white person walking into this relationship.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I, it feels like a totally different narrative from what I was raised around. Mm-hmm. And it's yeah. a really, it's like a shift, but I feel like I ultimately just have to respect the system right. more than my own life.
when did you become cognizant of that? Because it feels like that's like a thing you have to learn. Because like when you're a kid, obviously you're just, you don't know the system.
Yeah.
Maybe you have an implicit understanding a little bit. But.
Well, I think when I moved to New York, I lost all my old, I didn't lose, but like I had a new social circle.
Sure.
And
sure.
so that was it. It was that I kept my social circle from high school through college because a lot of them moved with me. And then the dynamic stayed. And then I mm-hmm. left that.
Got it, got it.
And then
it.
And then also I think the world also changed too.
Sure.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, pretty recently. Like, yeah, 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 totally.
Did you ever feel like in New York, maybe in those early, like that transitional period, did you have a sense walking into like more Latinx spaces, like, did you have different expectations for how you would be greeted and how you would be like welcomed or treated than what reality was?
Yeah, kind of, because I feel like there were a few friends I had that were kind of like, what? And I, like, that I made then in New York, that I was like, oh, wait, don't we like joke like this? And yeah. not like, I don't even mean like, no, race wasn't even in the joke. It was more, it was just like vibe, you know? Yeah. And the vibe was like, what?
That's not
like,
how
like, yeah. like, this is not the vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah,
yeah. yeah.
Wow, that's
that is yeah. really interesting.
I don't know if that exactly complements what you're saying, but I guess like, I feel yeah, like. Yeah,
especially when you become comfortable with someone like on an intimate level. And then
yeah.
like, you're like, do I even think of my partner or my girlfriend as a woman? Do I think like what it,
yeah,
like
yeah.
all the identity things that you associate to like go out in the world.
Yeah.
They fall away when you're like, when you love someone or when you care right. about someone. So yeah. it's like, oh, politics is actually very present, mm-hmm. like suddenly.
Right.
And
right,
then
right.
you're
you
like,
you can't avoid it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, okay, yeah, I shut up now. Mm-hmm. Or like, I'm learning right now.
Yeah.
This is a learning moment. You know?
Well, it is like, especially with, is it okay? That we're, do we need to be like right back on a call?
No.
Is this okay?
The whole point. Okay. We're great. The okay. whole point.
I know, that is
that scares me.
I'm sorry. Oh, we should have put you guys over here. We have a clock in the studio because Andrew and I, it's really for us in the beginning. We ramble so
I
much.
Can see how yeah, it's yeah,
we should have put you guys over here so you're not worried about it. No.
It's aggressive for the guests.
I know.
Yeah. I like the power dynamic, actually.
Yeah, man. We have 1 minute.
You should have it in your home.
Can we set it so it just blinks red when the time
Yeah. Stop. It drips blood.
Yeah.
No, no, but please go ahead.
Well, my boyfriend is Jewish, and I feel like I've always wanted to like be around Jews more than I have been, and now that I have like the family of it like near me, I, like, part of me wants to be like, I'm noticing this about Jews, you know?
Right, but,
like,
right,
it's also, like, that's sensitive, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Jordan's not very sensitive about that, but no, in right. general, like, I
friend
have
of the
be
show,
like,
Jordan Firstman. Go on Stitcher Premium and find his episode.
In the vault.
I think it's in the vault somewhere.
I always think that my husband's white, and I think that I always like when he notices differences of how we're treated out in the world.
Right.
Because, like, you're saying, Casey, like, I very much get that he... whatever, like, doesn't see me as a whatever. Like, we're just, like, a partnership. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. he just sees me as, like, my partner. And then when we leave our home, yeah. when we go in the world, I always appreciate when he just gives a subtle, like, oh, wow. Like, a guy, like, whistled at me on the street the other day while I'm walking with him. And he just went, boy. And, like, that's all you need sometimes is just to be like, I know you don't see me as different from you. But, like, the fact that you're recognizing that other people do. Because I hate, we've all had partners that are just like, well, I just don't see, you know, color. This stuff doesn't matter to me. And it's like, it has to.
Yeah. Because it matters to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, other people aren't. Yeah, other people treat me differently. So we have to all know that that's happening.
Yes.
Did we help this person?
What was the fucking caller's question?
About Representative Omar.
Really, but it's fine.
But no, well, you can't be critical of an entire people. No.
But you can be critical of a government. Oh, well, no, right.
Well, okay, yes, you can be critical of a government, and you should be. But like an entire people, no.
I think that I think overall, that's the thing that maybe the question asker, the caller, like, conflated, because it's easy to conflate, which is, I mean, I think this turns on, like, Israel isn't Jewish people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And then that kind of, like, makes everything else a little irrelevant.
And also you have to look at the power. Where is the power, and what are you criticizing? It's not just Jewish people.
But Jewish identity is so complicated. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like an intersection of, like, there's some governments in the world that Jewish people feel identify with, and then there's also, like, several different, like, bloodlines that are, like, totally feel, like, disconnected for centuries, and then there's also just, like, Jewish American culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's so I don't know how to talk
about
it.
And then the actual religion on top of that,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, the nominal thing that should define it definitely isn't the only thing,
right?
Yeah.
Well, I will say, though, as the caller, who I don't remember if they said specifically, but I'm just going to assume is also Jewish. You have a valid voice in this. Like, yeah. I mean, I think that's the other important thing is, like, the people at the Seder had one opinion. You have a different opinion.
Yeah.
And straight up, yours is also valid.
Totally.
And you know who you don't fucking care about are the white supremacists on Twitter yelling about this.
Right.
The fucking Trump voting non-Jewish people yelling about this.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They do not have a voice in this.
Well, they have a voice, but
they have a horrible voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the worst one.
But I also like that Jews always say that the a big part of Judaism is being curious.
Yeah,
like,
that's in the scripture. You know, complaining. Like, to complain is to question. And to always be questioning,
I like that.
All right, let's get one last voicemail in.
Hey, Tawny, Andrew, and guests. My question is bitching about your own privilege racist? So, for example, I'll post tweets about racism or intersectionality PSAs on my Instagram story, and this is with the intent of educating my white followers. But I also have, like, a lot of non-white mutuals or friends, so I worry that this comes off as virtue signaling or performative or, like, I'm bragging. So is there a better way to be conscious about privilege online and offline, or is this just worrying about this just centering my own comfort? Okay, thanks. Bye.
So I know this overlaps a little bit with the first call. The thing I kind of wanted to latch on to more was the idea of, like, virtue signaling, that kind of thing. So that's the new part of this.
What is that again?
So virtue signaling, I would argue, is sort of like a fake thing that right-wing people made up to attack white people who are not terrible.
It actually came, I feel like a woman scholar actually coined it in a good way that had to do with something smart.
Okay.
But now it is not used that way. The connotation
the
now.
Sort of it's basically, I mostly, if not always, have only ever seen it in terms of, like, bigots telling let's just say in the context of this podcast. Actually, I think it's mostly like Reddit dudes talking to dudes who support men who support, like, you know, just feminism or LGBTQ shit more often than race, I feel, but maybe I'm wrong. And it's just like, oh, you're just doing this to be seen as one of the good ones. Mm. Like,
just to correct myself.
Like, you don't actually believe that, but you...
What a weird world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the academic usage was by a guy named Joseph Bulbulia. And he published it in a couple of papers where he was talking about people doing acts of religious service to appear pious when they really weren't.
Yeah,
it's essentially...
That's the only academic usage of it. And then
no, it's extended to just like how you present online.
Yeah.
Yeah. So essentially it's that bigots saying to someone, we know you and I know you don't really believe this. You're just virtue signaling, but obviously you really are a misogynist, racist, homophobe, like me.
Right. Too much time online.
Yeah.
For us to like develop layers. No.
We have been on here too long.
I know.
And I also want to say to this caller, like, drop that Instagram handle so we can see your PSAs for ourselves and judge whether they're, braggy,
virtue signaling. A tone thing that comes off right away.
Who do you think it is? She has followers. She has white followers.
Oh, yeah. Let's try and find her.
Who has white followers?
Who could it be?
Martha Stewart.
I think it's interesting when people are worried about coming across as virtue signaling, because if you're not, you shouldn't be worried about it.
Right? Yeah.
Or it should. Yes, I agree. Or at least the right way should come naturally to you. You could still be conscious of it, but like you should be able to tap into the real place in yourself quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, why else would you be tweeting about it if you weren't a little bit trying to be, not even in a virtue signal way, but just being like, this is how I am. This is what I believe. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't necessarily think, unless they are deep, like, closeted homophobe bigots, like, I don't understand. Like, why would...
Yeah.
It can be annoying when people are like, yo, I'm woke or whatever. It's like... Yeah.
That's where the argument of the people who throw the virtue signaling argument
what is it
falls
hurting?
Apart. Yeah. Yeah. Guess what? Yeah. I would love if every bigot just would shut the fuck up
and
about
be
their
closeted.
Bigotry. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, you know,
that'd be
not
great.
ideal, but it is a significant step in the right direction.
It's like good propaganda.
Yeah.
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 You guys all virtue just signaling.
Pretended to be on the right side of it. That sounds great for us.
I know.
For like cultural capital.
It's workable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. At least it's like safer.
Yeah.
In general.
Right. It's safer. It's still damaging because it's like appropriative or something.
Yeah.
But it's like,
that's what.
Yeah.
With like Trump stuff too, whenever people are like, it's just good that it's out there. I'm like, okay. Like, I guess that's, if that truly is the first step to like the death rattle, then okay.
Yeah.
If it's not, then it's not good.
I mean, the analogy I always use is, I used this before, but I've become a bit more of a camping outdoorsy person.
Yeah.
And to me, the argument is like, it's like putting out a campfire, right? You bury that shit under a bunch of dirt. Fire is racism, let's say.
Okay.
And
I love this. Here we go.
You know that deep in the ground, there's still some hot ass pieces of wood that could burn anyone, but they are covered up with dirt. And critically, they are not in danger of setting any other pieces of wood on fire.
And if I may, Andrew, I love this so much as also a peak outdoors white woman myself. Those campfires are meant to be dead out in the national forest. They say dead out, no smoke, smoke coming from it. So that means we don't even want the smoke of racism to come out because that is still dangerous to the forest.
Yeah.
The forest being people of color, just the world in general.
Yeah.
So we want that shit completely smothered.
Yeah.
And yes, we know... It's
deep,
still under
deep
there.
Down, deep, buried somewhere. There's still a bunch of racism.
It can't burn down the world, aka the forest.
Yeah. And so that's why I'm always just like the at least it's out there argument. I'm just like, you are 100% wrong.
Yeah, right. You're totally wrong.
Like, that's not
also because like anyone in a marginalized group always knew that was out there. You're only happy it's out there because you didn't know before.
She didn't have your proof.
Right.
Yeah. You didn't have your proof.
Right.
Also, this girl with her PSA, her privilege PSAs. Look, here's the thing about Instagram. You're definitely annoying someone. There are several group threads and people that you think are your friends that are bitching about you. But you're probably also educating some people. So
I know. It's a little...
You got to live
with... I think you're like... It's like a thing where like I think you're getting at this, Casey, a little bit, which is a little bit of like, well, why do we do anything
exactly
on the internet?
What are right we actually kidding ourselves?
Like, of course it's for attention.
Yeah.
So given that, I guess it's still ultimately better to get mm-hmm attention for saying a good thing rather than a bad thing.
Yeah. It sounds cringy to me.
Look, I'm going to say this.
I am going to find it.
Yeah, write in. We'll judge you.
Please give us your handle. We'll judge you live on air. It does sound a little cringy, but that's also because a common refrain I have on this show is just, you're not funny. Like, right, no one is funny. So I don't know a world where this PSA is like great bits of comedy.
Right.
Maybe you're great. Maybe you're funny.
It sounds tricky to make we love funny. And it seems like in order for it to be actually funny, it would have to be like very absurd mm-hmm in order for like to start to find like the point of view about it. Because mm-hmm otherwise you're just
You're straight up giving her free punch up right now. Incredible.
Don't think I'm willing.
From the co-creator of Search Party, you're getting, this is a master class in punching up your IG stories. Sister friend, listen up.
I can't work. I have to punch up the privilege PSAs. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Well, honestly, most importantly, to get more of Casey and Charles, subscribe to The Problem with Charles and Casey.
Yeah, season's almost over. Yeah. It's a short season.
Oh, yeah. A little baby season. Yeah.
It's on Stitcher Premium? Is that
and Earwolf, yeah.
And Earwolf. Oh, everywhere. Great. So you can just find it.
It's on iTunes. Oh, my God. It's even on iTunes.
Yeah.
Just find that shit.
You guys can find them easily and watch Search Party.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. News
it's
soon.
It's so funny.
Amazing. I'll have more news soon.
Okay. Wait, I'm not trying to pressure you. I'm not trying to get a scoop.
No one did. I didn't even
And let me just say, as a meta thing, how crazy would it be if the news was just like, no more show? So we never know.
That would be bad, yeah. Andrew. Why would you put that out there?
You never know.
You have to tune in to find out.
Yeah, the world is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so tell people where they can see, hear, read more of you besides that on the internet, maybe?
My handles and such. Okay, so I'm at Casey Jellison.
Nice.
Yeah, I like
I'm
it.
At G Charles Rogers. G is for George, in case you want to know.
That's
my
good
credit card.
Yeah, in case people want to just hack your Experian.
And the number is
for your MX. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank
for
you guys
so
much.
This
what
was
a pleasure.
This was,
really
this
nice
was so delightful.
Thank you.
We helped people. Yay.
It's fucking weird. I hate that part. Peace.
Bye. Ha 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 ha. We love them. We love us. The four of us together have fun.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Y'all know Tawny's a musician.
Oh, guys, read that Vulture article to read about how I'm a musician of repute. As I was like, I picked up my guitar for the first time in what feels like 20 months and just was bashing through chords.
Hell yeah.
Felt like a real piece of shit.
Hell yeah, dog.
We got a lot going on, guys, for the summer.
Yeah, it's a summer of racism. Is that good?
We're going to work on it. We're going to work on
well,
title.
Well, that's, you know, we're pitching it.
But it is summer of some other projects we had going on fell through, so we're touring. Am I supposed to say that? Who cares?
Who cares? No one gives a fuck.
No one gives a fuck except me and the people who work with me.
I cared quite a bit as well.
That was nice of you. Thank you. Whatever. It means we get to tour.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we don't have exact details yet because they're hot off the little cupcake
Hot off of an email.
Yeah.
Hot off an email. But here's what we can say. This summer, get ready, Minneapolis, Boston, and Philadelphia.
Ooh.
For some reason. Yeah, those are the cities.
Yeah. Philly, Boston, Minneapolis. Also get ready maybe in the fall.
Yeah.
Get ready Portland again. Yep. Portland, Oregon. Yep. Please get ready Seattle.
Yep.
Please ready yourself San Francisco.
San Francisco, honestly, every one of y'all who tweeted at us that you were too hungover to come to our last show, this one will be at night, so you have no excuse.
This one will be at night, and if you're hungover at night, you've done the day backwards.
Yeah, and then either way, just come.
Yeah, just be there.
At this goddamn point.
Look, a lot of times we get asked like if we'll play venues that don't serve booze, and while we will, sometimes I'm like, man, but like I got to be able to drink. So like if you're too hungover to come, you don't have an excuse. Come to the show.
Yeah, please come. But keep an eye out. We'll have tickets for sale imminently.
We don't know why.
We're just excited.
We're excited.
Yeah, and then some other, we're working on some other dates, but those are the ones we at least know about that are going to happen.
So keep your eyes
one way or another
peeled and glued to the phone.
What else? Merch.
Merch. Podswag.com/yo to get some of our sweet merch. We got those little enamel pins that people have been liking.
That's true. Oh, and Tawny had an idea right before we walked into the studio. And this is a big sigh for me, but I think it's the right thing. Would y'all wear I'm trying my best t-shirts? Let us know on Twitter.
You know, I guess you would.
Throw up a design if you think of one, but we have some ideas ourselves.
Yeah, it's either I'm trying my best or just doing my best. Both are accepted.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, just doing my
People
best.
People have been saying both, but you guys have really latched onto that phrase in a way that makes us both roll our eyes and love you.
Andrew and Tawny love it equally, and that is to say a lot.
So yeah, throw up a design if you want. Otherwise, we might hit up some other cool friends of the show who are also designers.
Hit us up yozisracist.com, yozisracist on everything social.
Mm-hmm. I'm Trondi Newman. He's Andrew T.
That's right. That's right.
Call in.
323-389-7223. That's 323-389-RACE.
And leave Dwayne Perkins alone. He absolutely wasn't in that movie. Wow.
But Yasser did all of it.
Yeah, Yasser made it. Bye.
The sun is also a star.
You guys, we watched a movie.
We sure did.
It was nice to watch a movie that I just was like, okay, all I'm doing right now is sitting down and watching a nice movie. I don't have to work. I don't have to do anything else. Let's just sit down and relax.
I really, look, we have a vested interest in this, but just seeing a fucking movie with world's most attractive black woman and Asian man, was phenomenal.
It was so
great and fun.
We always talk about how, well, I always complain about how whenever you see a mixed relationship, there always has to be a white person as neutral.
Yeah.
So it's nice to just be like, nah, we got two shades in here. Nobody's white. Well, some people are white, like in the movie, there's white people.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, for the leads.
Grudgingly.
But no, it's a sweet love story. Andrew, did you feel like love was possible after watching it? Did you feel like
I can't believe you're going to attack me on the real one thing. Obviously, I don't believe in love because I'm sort of a Natasha at the beginning of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I'm what you would call a, you know, if we took the personality quiz that we are writing, I'm sort of a... Natasha at the start of Sun is Also a Star.
And I'm definitely more of a Daniel because I love like menswear pieces.
Man, my motherfucker looks so good. I can't believe
it. I just love a suit.
Yeah. Suit and...
on any gender. Just put on a suit.
Suit and dunks, I believe.
Oh, nice.
He was looking fucking like the most New York shit. It also made me miss New York a lot, I have to say.
Yeah. It is a nice little love letter to New York. So if you're looking for shit that isn't Woody Allen.
Oh, can I tell you this? What I really genuinely thought, I was like, oh, to me, used the good parts of like a movie like Manhattan, like some of the photography. And listen, if you love the cinematography of Woody Allen or the way the shots are composed, it looks fucking gorgeous. It's like, I really, that was one of the things I clocked. I was like, better than Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that right now. I don't know if the producers would want me to say something so insane, but I hate Woody Allen personally. So,
all right,
better than Manhattan. Boy, we should talk about what the movie is. It's Daniel is a Korean American boy who loves poetry, believes in fate and destiny, and Jamaican born Natasha is a practical girl who enjoys facts and science.
With just 24 hours before she and her family are deported from the U.S., Natasha wrestles between love and logic while the two spend the day together discovering a magnetic chemistry.
Don't miss the most woke love story of all time. That is actually better copy than I could think of. Starring Gronish's Yara Shahidi and Riverdale's Charles Melton. Okay, here's where I'm gonna get into the diciest territory. So he's the second hot Asian Reggie.
Okay.
On Riverdale, because they recast the first one.
Okay.
Is it out of line to call him light-skinned hot Asian Reggie?
Let us know right after you watch The Sun is Also a Star.
That is as hard a yes. Tawny was looking at me with, I'm going to fucking end you.
No.
That was out of line. I know it was out of line, but I was like, ugh.
All the wild shit we've said in ads, and that's the thing that you're tripped up on?
It really is.
I think you're fine.
That's an Aunt Viv reference for everyone who's
Yeah.
Of the appropriate age to watch this movie. That's from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, yeah. If you're young and you don't remember Fresh Prince,
that just
I feel bad
sounded
for you.
Even more fucked up than it already was.
Wait, and what? They did it in Bewitched, too. There were two Darrens.
Yeah,
so.
Light-skinned Darren.
Light-skinned Darren.
Oh, my God. Why? I don't know why I'm doubling down on this.
No one
terrible,
has asked us to do this.
Terrible joke. Look, I apologize.
Go watch the movie. The Sun is Also a Star. It's only in theaters. Andrew, do you think you can fall in love in one day?
I don't think I could fall in love.
Well,
in like
then you
15,
need to rewatch the movie.
15, 16 years. It truly so romantic, so fun, so like fucking New York. It's great. Find out on May 17th when it is in theaters. Check it out for yourselves.
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the improv fantasy podcast Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. 8 nights.
Rachel Bloom.
You all see my collection of men corpses and one woman.
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer.
Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins has crossed out and then circled and crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos! Ruler of the Eighth Circle!
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.